Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for that all that are in authority, and that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Again, as I have taught at all times, See, there again, that's an example of, it is a figure of speech when I say of all. Does that mean every single moment? And when he says all men, what is he saying? I pray for all men. But it means, as Paul, as it's regarded in the Old Testament, remember there was just the Jews and the Israelites. That was it. And the New Testament is open up to Jews and Gentiles. And all men, small and great, rich and poor, whether they be kings, in authority, whoever. Why? Paul was once an enemy of the gospel. He was once a blasphemer. He was a persecutor, injurious. He deserved to be prayed for because God wanted him to be saved. Pharisees deserved to be saved. Sadducees, you know, Baptists, Lutherans. There's no respect of persons with God. I pray for Baptists, Lutherans, Catholics, Muslims, atheists, agnostics, homosexuals, men stealers, whoremongers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, ungodly, sinners, unholy. But also knowing this, God wills all men to be saved as regard to kind, meaning all kinds of men to be saved. He will have all men to be saved to come to the knowledge of the truth. But that does not mean he every single person who ever has lived is either going to be saved or that God even intends for them to be saved. And I say it in this sense. If this scripture at all casts any doubt on that, one must remember all the other scriptures which affirm the truth, which is that God has made some vessels to honor and some to wrath. And that is according to his doing. It is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that showeth mercy. If God has mercy on all men, then all men will be saved. Not just that God has a desire to save all men from whatever, without respect of persons, which is the implication of this. Because if God wanted to save you, you would be saved. No matter what. If he wanted to save everybody, then everybody would be saved. You know why? Because the love of God is a real love. I don't care what anyone says. If you love someone and you see they are killing themselves and destroying themselves ignorantly and in unbelief, what do you do? Do you let them keep doing it? Is that love? Would God call that love? Do you think he's going to judge us loving if we knowingly allow people to destroy themselves? He has even said, you must rebuke people or I'm going to count their blood on your hands. So, well, God is rebuking them gently. Well, let me say this. If your child was about to kill themselves and it was in your power to stop them, it was in your power, absolutely, unequivocally, you had the absolute power to prevent it. Tell me now, tell me that you would allow your child to kill themselves. Because that is what the whole of mankind is doing. They're destroying themselves. They're killing themselves, and God is watching. Man's deeds and his sins, his sin nature, which he has no control over, but which God has all control over, is killing man. And God is letting it happen. And you're going to tell me he loves every single person? And he does. He loves those he saves. And those whom he saves, he loves. But if he doesn't save them, I cannot believe that he loves them. no way. Only in the way in which God has love towards all the beasts, and in the way in which God has love for his enemies, in that, you know what, he doesn't destroy them all in an instant. He's good to them in that sense, but it is not the same love wherewith he loves his children. No way, no how. I can't believe it. And according to the scriptures, it's not true. So this verse must be interpreted in line with all the other scriptures, which indicate that Christ died to save some. He says, narrow is the gate and straight is the way, and few there be that find it. If God really wanted people to be saved, all men, if he really wanted in the literalist, most rigid, wooden, unfigurative way you could take that, because it's a figure of speech. It's like I say, I went to a party and everyone was there. Everyone? You mean everyone in the whole world? Well, no, not everyone in the whole world. I just mean all the people, everyone. John, Fred, Susie, Mark, John, the other John, Greg, Bill, Sharon, and Joe. Right, everyone. Oh, whoa, it was an office party. Oh, everyone from the office, you mean. Oh. And when God talks about all men, all his elect, of course, he means of all nations of men. Because his elect are saved. That is, those he did foreknow, he did justify, he did call, he did glorify. You know, he does that to those who he foreknows. To those who he does not, he does not. God wills to have all men come to the knowledge of the truth. In the context of the idea of whether they be kings or whether they be peasants. He specifically mentions kings in verse 2 because, and we want to pray for kings and stuff. Why? So we could live quiet and peaceable lives, you know, and not endure persecution. It would be a lot, in his time, he was looking, it would be easier to preach the gospel if we didn't have persecution and we could have free reign. But in some ways, it's actually the opposite. And Paul even realized in some of his epistles where he's like, you know, the brethren have waxed more bold because of my chains. So in godliness and honesty, when we live in godliness and honesty, we want to be able to live peaceably in that.